This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. It is hour number two as we continue along this morning. We got Jenny Carlson joining us from the Oklahoman. We'll talk about Big 12 football. The Oklahoma Sooners projected to be the number one team once again out of the conference. But how many of you are kind of interested in what could go on at Texas? The new head coach at Steve Sarkisian is going to be running. Offensively, what will they do? How good could they possibly be in a first year? Usually you get a year or two to sort of work in your system. Are the expectations really high at Texas with Steve Sarkisian taking over? I'm interested in Baylor. I like Dave Aranda as the hire there a year ago. It's going to be his second year in Waco. I don't think a lot is expected, so I'm not expecting them to be competitive in terms of the top spot, but could they have a really good season in the second year for Dave Aranda? Team to watch out for out of the Big 12, we'll talk to Jenny Carlson about this, is Iowa State. Good team last year, almost won the conference. They have everybody coming back, so they should be a force to reckon with. Oklahoma State got a lot of love last year in the preseason. They didn't live up to the expectations. Spencer Sanders at quarterback, so is there a level that the Cowboys will play under Mike Gundy that will sort of live up to what we thought they could be in 2020? So we'll kind of hash that all out this hour with Jenny Carlson. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well. Talked a little bit about this last hour. The Olympics are going to be starting, and the Team USA basketball is going to leave Monday, and they're going to leave without Bradley Beal, who cannot make it because of COVID-19. The virus is still affecting us in this way. When we get to the Olympics, and this again, if you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times, I don't know how this is going down. I really don't. It seems like in Japan, there's a lot of spike in infection rates. They're going to do their best to sort of keep everybody in check at the Olympics. But when you have an outbreak, especially in the Olympic Village, how isolated are all the athletes going to be in the Olympic Village? If you're the swimming team and you have an outbreak, it may affect the swimming, but what if you hung out with the track and field guys during your off time? How much can you hang out with the track and field guys? A lot of this stuff I just haven't seen worked out yet. So if they pull it off, God bless them. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop on the Olympics. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, and the dumb, the Friday edition to get you ready for the weekend. Yeah, we got good, we got bad, we got dumb. Let's get the good of the day.
The good of the day. Tony, in 1 week, it might be the great of the day.
But all right,
we're just going to go with the good right now. Last night was to Ted Lasso's, premiere, red carpet premiere.
Right.
And what I'm highlighting is, we'll talk about the reviews of it in a second, but what I'm going to highlight is Jason Sudeikis showed up wearing a shirt, black T-shirt or long sleeve black T-shirt with words on it. All that said was Jadon and Marcus and Bukayo.
Those are the guys that missed those kicks.
Those are the guys who missed
those
kicks.
Why are we coddling these guys, though? They're professional athletes.
They're professional, but I guess...
Is anyone going to do that if Giannis misses free throws in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, well, you would if this happened. I guess they've been getting racist tweets hitting at them and stuff like that.
That's wrong, but they're not the only ones who have ever gotten it.
Right.
It's wrong, and it's wrong whenever it happens, but I feel like they're not amateur athletes. I don't want a professional athlete. Like, I don't want it to be different than any other athlete it's wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's wrong. But I feel like they failed on their job. That's fine. But don't send the tweets.
I'm saying that, they've been getting a lot of racist backlash.
Yeah, that's 100% wrong.
So, he's wearing the shirt to show solidarity with them, saying, hey, we all make mistakes. We've all been there. I mean, you got to pick yourself up and go on.
That's fine.
So that part I like. But the reviews for Ted Lasso, I mean, they only showed two episodes at this premiere party. Or I guess it's like a I didn't know TV shows did this, by the way. You know, I know that movies do a red carpet premiere usually a week before the movie opens and all the stars come out. I didn't know they did this with TV shows, but maybe
I guess I saw this for Game of Thrones when they would launch the season. And maybe The Sopranos and stuff, but more.
Maybe it's a streaming thing.
Maybe so.
I never once heard of it for Cheers.
No, never did. You're right. You're 100. This seems to be a relatively new thing.
Yeah, maybe, you know, just to get, I don't know. Because
you're just watching a couple of, are you watching one episode or a couple of episodes when you watch these big screenings?
They watch two episodes.
Yeah, because you're not watching the whole thing.
Yeah, but as far as the reviews go for those two episodes, everyone just, like, it picks up right where it left off, if not even better.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's why I say next week might even be greater for us because it comes out. We get to see it next Friday.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. It was one of my pleasant surprises of last year.
Yeah,
was watching that.
Yeah,
I watched it again. I watched the full. I just not that long ago. I watched the whole thing again.
And that's literally everyone's reaction. There's, you know, I knew I would be into it because it was about soccer. And I'm like, you know, but it wasn't. Honestly, there wasn't enough soccer in the story to. There was enough soccer, but soccer wasn't needed.
Right.
And, you know, soccer was just like a little bonus because it was all about everything else. And that's, you know, for everyone who is, you know, if you still haven't jumped on board and you're worried about, I don't really want to watch a soccer TV show, it's much, much more than that.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day, this will speak to you at your heart, Tony. There was a mob of angry Italians who stormed a kitchen and attacked a chef for tampering with their spaghetti recipe.
Oh, no. How did this happen?
Apparently, they added an ingredient to a well-known dish that does not belong. Spaghetti alla vongole, if I'm pronouncing that right, which is basically spaghetti and clam sauce.
Yes.
And this one chef substitutes parsley with rosemary.
Oh, no.
And that was enough to send a group of Italian tourists who were in this part of Italy, you know, just vacationing, sent them enough to have to be restrained by kitchen staff.
Now, I do understand rosemary and parsley are two totally different, you know, fragrances and flavors. But, it's not like he said, I'm going to use cavatelli instead of spaghetti along those lines, right?
But it's not the most Italian thing you ever heard.
That very much so, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, you can
isn't a chef supposed to create his own thing?
It's his thing.
When you own a restaurant, you hire a new chef, you expect a change in the menu. You don't say, we have the same things the other chef that's no longer here. You didn't hire a guy to just do what the other guy did. You hired a guy to bring his own flavors and his own methods and styles and recipes to the table, right? Isn't that what happens?
That's what happens.
Isn't that what this business is about? That business is about?
That's how you make a name for yourself.
Right.
You're basically, and if you watch any of these cooking shows, it's taken, a lot of times what they'll do is like, hey, take this simple recipe, but put your spin on it. Put you on a plate. Is the tagline I usually hear about it. And maybe rosemary is more him than parsley. I don't know.
Aren't there restaurants where, because I know like at Disney World, they have a restaurant where if you get selected to the chef's table, you just eat what the chef gives you. You don't even pick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like you have a table and the chef gives you like seven courses and he's like whatever he makes. And he brings it out. You obviously don't have to eat it, but it's his best dishes that he brings you. And I think there's a lot of restaurants that do that for a certain clientele where the chef goes, no, I'm going to treat you to what I do best. That's their thing. So to riot because a guy is not doing, like, that's not my favorite thing. Like, my favorite thing is parsley, and you're not doing my favorite thing, so we'll riot.
Yes. Riot.
That's awesome. That's great. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's like my wife's chili is really good, really, really good chili. And one time she made it differently, and I was like, I can't eat this.
Were you ready to riot?
Yes.
Storm the kitchen, attack the chef.
I said, why did you do that thing when you do with the chili? She goes, I was trying something new. I'm like, don't.
That's like, by the way, that's very dangerous.
Right. I was like,
to all you, married men out there.
Don't do it. Yeah.
You got to have a good relationship in order to pull that one off.
I said, the chili is so good when you do this and that to it and the meat and all this. And you added some stuff. But yeah, I get it. So, but that is kind of weird.
I just want the video of it.
Just one thing. It's not like he was like, I took the clams out and replaced it with Snicker bars.
Right. You know, right?
It's like,
or you know, I decided to
make a Hostess cupcake in there,
spaghetti and clam sauce, but I threw in veal cutlets.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's not really spaghetti and clams then.
It's not like putting cheese on fish or something like that, right? Whatever you're not supposed to do.
That'd be weird. I can't just picture some like shredded cheese on a plate of fish.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, okay. I'm a little hesitant on this because he did this interview with Barstool Sports. And so I'm not, you know, I haven't really seen it anywhere else. But apparently, Travis Kelce pulled a Tyrod Taylor.
What did he do?
Did he say
his last name was pronounced Smith?
No, his last name is actually pronounced Kels.
Did he really?
Yes.
He's been in the league forever, and now he's telling us this?
See, I'm a little hesitant because I haven't seen it anywhere else. I've seen other people commenting on it like, I can't believe we've been saying it wrong for all these years. Why didn't you say something?
You know what? He's Kelce.
He's Kelce.
That's it. You're done.
But
sorry. We're not going to go back in time. No, we're not changing it.
When you're tuning in these coming Sundays and you hear Travis Kelce made a play, don't think the Chiefs signed a new tight end. I'm just warning you. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. He pulled it to Rod Taylor because and countless other people who have said, oh, but by the way, my name is actually this.
Yeah.
You've been in the league for 10 years. Come on.
You remember when in the movie The Godfather, his last name was Andolini and he got over to the United States as a little boy and he was from Corleone. So he became Corleone. And that was it. You're Corleone now.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with Travis Kelce. Too bad. It's Kels. Too bad. It's now Kelce. The public has spoken. That's your last name. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Joe Theismann.
Yeah. That one he did himself.
I had a friend of mine who did this. Actually a former coworker of mine, where he had kind of changed the pronunciation of his last name because he was in the entertainment business. He was a piano player, comedian kind of thing. And, you know, it just rolled off the tongue a little easier out of the native Ukrainian. And then he did this big deal on social media where he's like, I'm going back to my roots, right? He was doing this thing, and nobody calls him the name. He said, my name is pronounced this way, and I'm going to go by that. And nobody did. And I was like, I told him, I said, you're too entrenched into the community to make that kind of bold move. I know I appreciate your roots and appreciate your culture, but you perform all the time. You're all over the place in the city. It's not going to work. They're lazy. They're not going to help you out with this.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the way it is. I know it's too bad, but it's too bad. It's like Joe Theismann is a perfect example of this. If he had said, you know, my last name is really Theismann, I'd rather go by Theismann. Nobody would do it. Nobody would do it. I'm sorry, Joe, but too many years of you doing this, we're not going to do it for you. Sorry.
I mean,
same with Travis Kelce. We're not going to call him Travis Kelce now.
No, you know what reminds me of that scene in Star Wars? You know, when Luke is sitting there going, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wonder if they mean old Ben Kenobi.
Right. Yeah.
And he just comes out like, well, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan. That is a name I've not heard in a long time.
You know who he is? Yes.
It's me. And then later on in that speech, by the way, the biggest lie in the history of movies. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough, but your uncle wouldn't allow it. Oh, he did he? When he chopped off his arms and legs and left him on the volcano planet, as you were leaving, he said, by the way, give this to my boy. Thanks. If you could just take my lightsaber and give it to the boy, I would appreciate you. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you. Is that what happened? That's not the way I remember it.
Let's do lunch. We'll meet up in 30 years.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. What a lying old man he was. Just telling him fib after fib after fib. What a mentor.
I mean, he did that. Remember, he did that with talking about Leia.
Yeah.
He's like, you lied to me. No, I t- or no about no about the death of his father. Right. That's what it was. You lied to
from
me. He's like, no,
a certain
I just
point of view. Like, you left my father to die? Like, you just left him there instead of just, I don't know, mercy killing him with his no arms and legs on volcano, like, fire burning his body?
Or maybe the fact that now he has no arms, no legs, you pick him up and you try to rehabilitate him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Show him the error of his ways.
Yeah, because Emperor Palpatine had no problems doing that.
Yeah.
Picking him up and repairing him.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I love how we get on our Star Wars rants when we get moving, don't we?
Well, you know, sometimes Friday.
It is a Friday. Needed. It is a Friday. Jenny Carlson will join us. Talk Big 12 football. They wrapped up media days yesterday as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. Happy Friday to you. Hey, if you have a car problem but don't know where to go, maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reparable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So as I mentioned earlier, Bradley Beal, not on the U.S. team, got sent home because of COVID.
Yep.
That's too bad.
Is it because of COVID? Because everything I keep saying is health and safety protocol.
Yeah, right. That's probably true. I don't know if it's COVID.
Yeah, but what is health and safety protocol? We've never had that until COVID.
Okay, I have another question about COVID, right? So there were 6 Yankee players that tested positive for COVID,
yeah, right?
Including Aaron Judge. But he was at the All-Star game. Did he get it there?
Everyone.
How's that working? Is everybody at the All-Star game now being tested?
I know with the only thing I heard was with the Red Sox players, they're doing contact tracing. But,
right.
But okay, it's like, okay, but would Aaron Judge hang out with just Red Sox players?
I don't know.
There was a moment I know he was hanging out with Freddie Freeman at first base. They were more than they were closer than 6 feet apart.
Right.
Does Freddie Freeman now have to go through contact tracing? And I mean, yeah, this is probably, if there becomes an outbreak, this was the nightmare scenario.
Right. This was the nightmare scenario. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Because you got like a representative from every single team and one player that brought it over.
And I brought this up at the top of the hour. The Olympics is in trouble too with this kind of thing.
God,
because look, there's no way you're going to take, you're not going to isolate every single one of these athletes, right? They're supposed to mingle. They're all supposed to come together. It's kind of one of the joys of being an Olympic athlete is what goes on at the Olympic Village. But if you're the Australian archery team, and you get COVID, and you do contact tracing, and you find that the archery team hung out with the track and field team from France, and then they hung out with the rowing team from Canada. I mean, you could have a mess.
Yes.
At the Olympics.
And that's what I think people are expecting. I mean, honestly, the only ones who are going to be safe, probably the men's basketball team, because there's no way they're staying in the Olympic Village.
No, they ain't staying in no Olympic Village.
What was
not
it in Greece? They were all staying on a yacht?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're not messing around. They're like, no, no, no. Now, I think it wasn't it Brazil?
Was it Brazil?
They were staying on a yacht?
Maybe it was Brazil.
I think it was Brazil. Yeah, they got like a big cruise ship yacht. And we're all like, yeah, we're here.
You guys getting to have
hanging
dorm
out with
rooms.
You in dorms? What are you, insane?
Yeah,
waking up to a buffet. What's wrong with you? I'm not doing that. I got a buffet. I got a private chef on this boat cooking food for me. I'm not hanging out with you guys sharing
scrambled eggs
again.
Yeah, you should get down on this, five item omelet that I'm having.
Yeah, exactly.
Made to order.
I think that's one of the reasons people were really ticked off that Christian Laettner got to be on that dream team in 92.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much being on the team. It's that as a college basketball player, he was staying at a 5-star luxury hotel in Barcelona.
He wasn't.
All the guys his age were staying in dorms, 3 to a room or 4 to a room or wherever it was.
Sharing a bathroom, fighting over this. He wasn't getting the Olympic experience.
Exactly. He wasn't going down to the mess hall to get a bite to eat. He was like, wait a minute, hold on. We get room service anytime we want.
But wasn't there one, I think maybe China, where the basketball players actually went to the Olympic Village and like did like some of the clubs there.
Oh yeah, they might have. Yeah,
you know they
that
would
sounds
do
familiar.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the only group of people you don't have to worry about.
Right.
Come Olympic time. But you're right. I mean, we'll keep saying it. I think the opening ceremonies will happen. That's all I got to say.
I'll be shocked if we get closing ceremonies and go, well, we've had a successful Tokyo Olympics, haven't we, Dan yeah. Hicks?
On to Paris. So
right.
I think that's where it goes
yep.
after Tokyo.
This has been a great time. These 2 weeks have been filled with thrilling moments of Olympic glory.
If you're Tokyo, I mean, you don't, will you ever host another Olympics?
No,
because
you don't
this costs you billions of dollars to put on.
Good gracious.
And you're literally just flushing it down the toilet.
I know. I mean, they must have lost their mind with this thing. Just going, you got to be kidding. Can't catch a break. Because, you know, especially when you think a year out, like last year when they're like, you know what? Here's the deal. We're going to shut this thing down. But by next year, everything will be fine. It'll be normal.
Yeah.
Right, whatever. And then next year comes and you're like, man, we're not even sure if we can pull this off again. And not only that, they're making us pull it off, but we may not be able to even complete it. We don't have fans here, and there's no experience.
Revenue.
This kind of once in a generation opportunity, if not once in a forever opportunity, to host the Olympics, and we get this virus crap show that costs us, to, you know, a chance to really do a good job at the Olympics.
I mean, at the end of the day, like if we really think about it, who are they doing this for?
Right?
Are they doing it for themselves? Are they doing it for the athletes? Because you know, there's some athletes who. We, you know, they're only relevant once every 4 years.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, that's their time could pass. If you cancel this one and say, you know what, we're just, you know, we can't have Olympics this year. Sorry, guys.
But you know what? We did this in 80. We told the Olympics players, hey, sorry, we're not going to Moscow.
Yeah.
We're not. That's it. And they did the same thing to us in 1984 where they were like, we're not coming either. Sometimes you have to make these kind of decisions and go, we're really sorry, but these are things out of our control and we're not going to force the world onto one city during a pandemic, that especially in a country that's not really handling it all that well.
Yeah, and that's, you know? I mean, and, you know, you feel bad for, like, say, what's her name, Gabby, the gymnast?
Yeah.
Who's, like, you know, the best ever. I mean, yeah, this is obviously her last chance because she's an old woman in the sport, like a 24.
Right. Oh, yeah, you can't be, you got a little age cutoff there.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously, so this is her last chance at getting a gold medal. And if you say, hey, you can't do it, you can't do it. And I'm sorry. You know, you'll just have to live with the fact that you were the greatest of all time, that, you know, your gold medals from, I guess, Brazil were enough.
It's so interesting because I don't think in this country we're rah, rah, rah about the Olympics until it's on our TV and we go, oh, okay, we'll watch. Like, is anybody going to miss this if it was off the TV?
I think the last time we were...
Don't, not athletes and families, I get that, but just your average sports fan.
No, I think the last time we were all hyped for it was 2008 China, because it was all about Michael Phelps going for 8 golds.
Yeah, but if they had canceled that Olympics for whatever reason, I can't live with myself. Like some countries, this is all they got.
True.
Right? There's some countries, every 4 years, now every two with the Winter Games, they love Olympic sports. Olympic sports is part of their culture. They love it, so they can't wait for it. I think if with us, we like it when it's available to us. It's like, but if it's not available to us, I don't think we clamor for it. I don't think we go, man, I'm dying. I can't wait for the Olympic Games, man. I cannot wait for the Olympic Games. I think the Olympics are just something we go, yeah, you know what? It's coming this year. How great is that? That's awesome. I can't wait. Now, when we're in it, we're in it. You're like you said, Michael Phelps. We're in it. Right. We watch the snowboarding at the Olympics. We watch Michael Phelps. We watch track and field. We watch, you know, we watch the men's basketball, women's basketball. We watch the sports. But if you said today, hey, you know what? It's over. They're not running it this year. It's done. Would we go, oh, I can't take it? Well, we'd go, all right, just let me know when you're running this thing again. And then I'll tune in.
Are we going to sit there and like complain? What are we going to do for two whole weeks?
I mean, and plus, it's an opportunity. Like, I love archery, but only 4 years. I don't watch, you know? I think archery's awesome. They bring bows that are just unbelievable. But
we become experts in the sport.
I know, right? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And I only get to do that at the Olympics. Take it away, I may not miss it.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, a Big 12 Media Day is wrapped up on Thursday, and we thought, well, let's get a little bit of a preview for the upcoming season. I mean, it's like a little bit over a month away to get the season kickstarted. Jenny Carlson joining us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Again, Jenny Carlson from the Oklahoman. To get a little Big 12 preview. How are you, Jenny?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right. Before we get into 2021, 2020, what was that season like for the conference?
Well, you know, pretty good, actually. Didn't get a team into the playoffs, but ended up with a really good bowl record. Saw Oklahoma win its sixth conference championship in a row, which obviously shows their dominance, but, also saw the emergence of Iowa State, I think, as a real, player in the conference, a team that had kind of been coming that way, but played for the championship, beat Oklahoma earlier in the year. You know, I think that's a good thing that looks like that they've now established themselves as a team that will be in that upper echelon for a while. You know, obviously Texas change in coaching staff. There's a lot of question marks. What are they going to look like moving forward with Steve Sarkisian there? But, I think that overall, I think a lot of people pleased. You know, obviously you want to win a national championship again. Hasn't happened in the conference in quite a while since Texas did it with Vince Young. But, I think aside from that, can't argue with some pretty good results for the Big 12.
Let's get to Texas with Steve Sarkisian. I mean, whenever you get a new coach, there's sort of a little bit of a learning curve, get a system in place. But Sarkisian is such a big name and has so much experience and so known for what he can do offensively. Are the expectations right away that Texas is going to be taking on what he brings and be good immediately?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the expectation in Austin and among Longhorn fans, but I think they've been expecting that the Longhorns would be contending for, Big 12 and national championships a lot of years. Obviously played in the championship a couple years ago, Big 12 championship a couple years ago, lost to Oklahoma again, as a lot of people have of late. But, I think that there is that expectation. Now, obviously they're going to have a new quarterback. And I think anytime you're replacing, a longtime quarterback, that's going to be a challenge. And they have some guys they like. Casey Thompson sounds like he might sort of be the guy that is trending towards getting that nod. He looked really good in their bowl game when Sam Ehlinger had to exit. But that has yet to be determined. So we'll see. But I think that whenever you've got the all the things that Texas has going for it, the money, the facilities, the recruiting base. I mean, all of that. I think obviously the expectation is that they will contend pretty quickly, but we'll see. I mean, there's been several coaching changes since Mac Brown exited stage left for them. And, yeah. There's been high expectations for Charlie Strong and high expectations for Tom Herman and now high expectations for Steve Sarkisian. So will it happen? I mean, the pedigree for Sarkisian and what he's done offensively looks good, but Tom Herman was the cat's meow a couple of years ago. And, now he's just the latest Texas coach to be fired.
Let's talk about Iowa State, because what Matt Campbell did yesterday got a lot of eyebrows raised. And this is a team that Brock Purdy's come back, Breece Hall. They pretty much bring back everybody. In terms of a run towards not only the conference but a possible playoff berth, where is Iowa State? How close are they?
Well, I mean, I think they have to like their position. Like you said, they bring back so many of those guys off that team a year ago that, we're really, really close. I mean, obviously beat Oklahoma early in the season. I think we saw a different Oklahoma team as the year went on, because I think you saw Spencer Rattler, their quarterback, continue to evolve and really play at a higher level, and that put Oklahoma at a higher level. But, obviously beating Oklahoma, that was a big step. Iowa State had done it prior to that, but to now sort of have that, build up that track record of, hey, we can beat Oklahoma. When your players see that, when your players believe that, that can change the dynamic a bit. So I think, you tile that up with all of these returners. I think they feel like they are that close. Now, I think that everybody's aware that you know, you're going to have to go, you're going to have to go win it on the field. They have to go to Norman this year. Obviously not an easy thing. You know, there'll be challenges for them. And frankly, their biggest challenges as it relates to, you know, bigger prizes in the Big 12, they've struggled in non-conference games. You know, last year they lose to Lafayette out of the gate, and they didn't have some pieces. Charlie Kolar, among those, they're great tight end. They're All-American tight end. But, you know, that if you want to win, if you want to get to the playoff, if you want to be a serious contender for a playoff spot, you can't go losing non-conference games, especially to non-Power 5 non-conference opponents. So, to me, that has to be remedied and in short order if they really, really want to be in that conversation at the end of the year.
As far as Oklahoma goes, how good has their defense been? We know they put up a lot of points and have with all the quarterbacks that have come and won Heisman trophies and gone on to the NFL. Yeah. Defensively, over the last couple of years, how good have the Sooners been over the last few seasons under Alex Grinch?
Well, I mean, better, not great, not to the standard of, you know, say the days of the Selman brothers or Bosworth or Tony Casillas. I mean, they're not of that ilk of Oklahoma defense, but they are improving. I mean, where Alex Grinch has brought them from, you can't help but be impressed. You know, he's taken guys that they had, made them better. His staff has to be credited for that as well. But, you know, they've gone out and got more guys that sort of fit what they want to do. So they've really brought it together. Now, can they continue to take big steps forward? Obviously, that year one was a fairly significant jump just because they were coming from a position that was, you know, not good at all. Then they struggled to get turnover, something that Alex Grinch has really preached. And last year they turned that corner. So now you look at this third year with him, you know, can they really, really take a big step forward? They like their personnel. Now they lost some guys that are, you know, were key to what they did a year ago. Trey Brown in the secondary. You know, they lose, some guys up front. So there's going to be holes. I mean, but a year ago, there was a hole at linebacker when they lost Kenneth Murray, you know, a guy that had been such a huge part of their defense, even in the rebuild. And I think that they found ways to make up for that. So now that challenge continues. How do you make up for some guys that, you know, were drafted, some guys that were really heartbeat type of pieces on that defense? So that's going to be key because I think their offense, you know, is going to, even though they've got questions on their offense, their receivers, you know, who steps up in that receiver group? They've had some moving parts there. What does that look like? The running backs, you know, Kennedy Brooks returns. What does that all look like? Offensive line, they lose some pieces there, some guys that have played a long time. But you just see them continuing to push offensively, even as, you know, they've lost Baker Mayfield, they've lost Kyler Murray, they've lost Jalen Hurts, but they still go on. So you expect that to happen. So can the defense elevate to the point that they have that more complete team to really not only get to the playoffs, but get over the hump of winning one of those college football playoff games?
Jenny Carlson joining us, the Oklahoman, on a Big 12 preview after Big 12 Media Days wrapped up on Thursday. Oklahoma State, 8-3, not much, you know, not nothing to sneeze at by any means, but there seemed to have been a lot of high expectations. Were they what they should have been? I mean, there was an overtime loss to Texas, a close game at TCU. Where exactly were the Cowboys last year?
Yeah, you know, that's right, because they did have that sort of flash, especially, you know, with some of the skill positions, Chuba Hubbard at running back, Tylan Wallace at wide receiver. You know, you kind of expected their offense to be really high-powered. Their defense had improved quite a bit the second half of 2019, so you thought, hey, if their defense continues on that trajectory, they got all these playmakers on offense, they're really going to have a chance to do something fun. And instead, you saw some injuries to those marquee guys, but more than that, you saw some devastating injuries to their offensive line. You know, obviously, that's not a sexy position to talk about. People kind of roll their eyes, roll back in their head when you start talking about offensive line. But they were playing some guys on the offensive line that Mike Gundy the other day termed it as probably unfair. I mean, he said it was probably unfair to ask some of those guys to play major college football as early as the Cowboys needed them to be out there last year. So I think that is, when you talk about offensive struggles, it really, that's where you got to start. And so if they can get their offensive line, which now those guys got trial by fire experience, if you can get something consistent out of them, I'm not saying that Oklahoma State can return to the offensive production of, yesteryear when Dana Holgorsen brought the air raid in there and they were really going great guns. I don't know if they can get to that right away, but they have an experienced quarterback in Spencer Sanders. They have some guys at running back and receiver that they like, may not be as, known as the guys were a year ago, but I think that they feel like if that offensive line can really take advantage of what was a bad situation a year ago, maybe they don't win more games, but maybe they feel better about, their forward momentum with some things, because I think their defense is going to continue to be good. And frankly, that's been their biggest problem over the last decade of really getting over the hump of, maybe contending for a Big 12 championship. Could their defense, do something along the way to help that offense? Last year it was the reverse. Now if the offense can get back on track a little bit, you got to think they got a team that's going to give some people some problems.
So we talk about a couple of the teams in the Big 12 that are expected to do some really good things. The middle of the pack, a team like West Virginia, 6-4, Neil Brown seems to be going okay in Morgantown. Are they sneaky good, West Virginia? Are they projected to be a team that will bother you? Maybe not win a ton of games, but maybe a tough out if you play them.
I was talking with either one or two of my coworkers yesterday. It always seems like there's a team in the Big 12 that isn't projected to, sort of be upper half and maybe knock off one of those top teams and cause some consternation in the league. And some years it's K-State, some years it's TCU. We've seen West Virginia do it. I don't know who that's going to be this year. There were some teams down towards the bottom this year or last year, Kansas, I don't see them being that team, but you had Texas Tech down there, but they were in some games that they ended up sort of losing late. Could they rebound? West Virginia, Baylor had a terrible time with COVID a year ago, got right. Shut down a ton, that hurt them. I don't know who takes that jump into maybe being that team. You could see K-State again with quarterbacks that are known. West Virginia, same thing. They have guys coming back to the quarterback position that they know what they've got. They like what they've got. Can that be a positive for them? Don't be surprised to see a team that maybe was preseason projected bottom half of the conference finish in the top four. I mean, it tends to happen in the Big 12 that somebody takes a step and becomes that team. A few years ago it was Iowa State. Now we see them as a regular towards the top. Maybe there's another team that's going to maybe make a push to become that next team.
Jenny, always good talking to you. And I really like because I get that feeling of football back. We get the previews going. Thank you so
when
much.
We're talking offensive line. We know it's not far, right?
That's right. Exactly. When we're breaking down offensive line, we're not far. Jenny, great stuff. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
You got it. Jenny Carlson of the Oklahoman. Oh, God, that's good. We had it with Mike Tannier yesterday with the NFL. You get that college football feeling. And you know what? That is what I love about it, is that last question and the way she summed it up. You get these conferences where, we'll talk about A, 1A, 1B, 1C, right? These teams that are expected to be competitive around the championship, a game or two away from maybe making the playoff. But then they're the pesky teams in the conference, and everybody has them. That is just hanging around. They're 500, but man, you don't want to play them at their place. You don't want them coming to yours. They do something that's bothersome. There's something about them that just won't go away. It could be West Virginia this year. And Neil Brown, they were 6-4 last year, and that's nothing, that's nothing big. But they just were good enough to make you a little nervous when you would play them. That they could be the pest in that conference. It's Wake Up Call as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can, thanks to Jenny Carlson. I thought that was a great line, she said. When we're breaking down offensive line, it's close.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
It's so bizarre how... I mean, we talk about it all the time. Once the season ends, we're like, oh, my God, it's so long.
Right.
And then, we're mid-July, and we're sitting there. It's like, I can kind of see it. It's on the horizon.
Big 12 football is you either love it or you don't. And here's what I mean by that. For a long time, it's not we have to be honest about it. It is not the most defensive. Right? It's offense. It's like video game numbers sometimes with these schools. I mean, they put up these incredible passing yards. It's like insane. And the defense, like you said, Oklahoma under Alex Grinch, right, who's done good things there, but he hasn't done great things there. And Oklahoma is one of those teams you think is going to make the playoff. And then they get to the playoff and they don't do much because defensively they just can't. They can't do it against a better defense. Like when they play Alabama, they're going to go up against an offense that can score and a defense that will stop you. And all they have is an offense that can score, right? And that when they had all those quarterbacks, that's what they did. And that's how they got success. But they weren't going to stop you defensively. They were going to outscore you. And they almost came close. But they're not going to kick it defensively. And if you like defensive football, you don't like this conference. But if you like scoring and high numbers, this is the conference for you because it's always been that way, right? It doesn't really give you much else. But it always, you know, it produced really interesting games. Last year, the Oklahoma State-Texas game was really good. Oklahoma and Iowa State, when Iowa State beat them during the regular season. And last year was a little different. COVID affected Baylor badly, like she mentioned. I mean, they almost didn't have a season. But you know, we're going to see a lot more of these previews coming out, and you realize, man, it's close. It's close, and it's a little bit more closer to normal than we had last season. It is Wake Up Call. Sports Map Radio. Glad you could join us on a Friday.